This is the Community Connection Show with the Council on. And I've got Julian Guess, who's from Sustainability, and he will be running the show. First up will be Councillor Richard Higgins, who is currently our Mayor. And hello, Julian.
Good day, Greg. It's Julian here. I'm standing in for Michael Goodrich today, who is on parental leave. So congratulations to Michael. As Greg just said, we have the Mayor, Councillor Richard Higgins, today to give us an update on coronavirus and Council's response. We also have a couple of members of our youth team here. We have Rita Luzzi and Jacinta Crooks to give an update, and also our leader of the Sustainability, Jessica Ray, will be giving us an update on what's happening in sustainability later on as well. So first up, Councillor Richard Higgins. Richard, can you tell us what's happening in Council at the moment and some of the services that Council is still providing in these rather interesting times that we're having?
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. That's interesting times, absolutely, for everybody. Council is, despite that, still running at near full capacity. We've had to make a lot of alterations to achieve that, which has been no mean feat by staff. We have, I suppose, close to 90% of staff that are office-bound working from home, which is interesting. We've all started to learn how to use Zoom and Skype and those social media tools that are easy to get on and have meetings such as this. Which is really good, and some good skills to be picking up by the rest of the staff. Unfortunately, there's other parts of the council that we've had to shut down or temporarily close or suspend. In our aged and disability services, we've had to close down some of our respite care, the community transport areas, home care and social support groups to close. It's just too risky to spread the staff amongst community, which was obviously a no-brainer for people to understand. We do, though, still keep our personal care and individual social supports open for those people that are in need of that, so that's a good thing. We've had to close down play groups and early school holiday programs, which is unfortunate, but a necessity to abide by the government guidelines. What else have we got? Waste. All our waste collections are still going on like normal, which is a good thing, and hopefully that will remain for as long as the restrictions are in place. I just like to say to people that are listening, if they could make sure that they put their bins out on nature strips or in places where the garbage trucks aren't going to be impeded by parked cars or something else that might impede the trucks picking them up, because it's becoming a bit of a problem where the waste truck driver has to actually get out of the truck and move bins around. He's having to sanitise every time he gets out of the truck. So if people could make it easy for the dump truck people to pick up the bins properly and easily, it'd be much appreciated. Community links in Hillsville and Mombok had to be closed, unfortunately, and not too sure when they'll reopen at this stage. All the staff that have been closed or moved around into other working locations throughout council, which is really good. We've got a number of staff that are now delivering meals on wheels. Some of the ground staff were down at the flu injections today, welcoming people, and all the child and maternal health nursing with injections down there. So council are learning new skills in different areas. They're not actually able to do their normal tasks.
Richard, how's our council meetings happening at the moment?
Oh, yeah, well, councils, that's interesting. The actual council meetings actually have to be held if councils are present. If we want to actually make any decisions, we have to actually be present in the room and show a hand, would you believe? It's a little bit old, but that's the way it is. Both state government across the whole of Victoria, all the governments have, local governments have, asked them to change it. It needs a sitting of Parliament before it can actually mandate that that's what we can do. So at this stage, we're actually meeting with close to quorum, as close to it as we can without going under, and practicing isolation. We had to close the meetings to public so there's no public comes in. But the councillors are there, and we're live streaming the council meeting so people can actually watch, listen, and see what's happening. Anybody wants to contact us with questions, send them in. We'll answer them on the live stream.
Richard, how do people get onto this live stream? Through the council website or what?
Yes, it's on the council website under the council meetings. There's a connection there, is my understanding. I'm sorry, I haven't looked it up. I've usually been in the meeting, so I didn't have to look it up. But if people have a look on the website, I'm sure it's in the communications area under council meetings.
And Richard, what are some of the groups that have been hardest hit during the pandemic?
Our tourism's been pretty much smashed, I suppose, the same as our local businesses, our takeaway, our restaurants. All those places that need people to come into have been really hard hit. It's good that the government's allowed them to continue with takeaways, but that doesn't help. And their main money income, I suppose, is actually comes on seats, getting people indoors, which makes it hard for them to make a turnover a living. Council's working very hard to be relaxed in our planning provisions in that area. Some of the restaurants haven't got necessarily the need to do takeaway or the ability to do takeaway. We're working with a fairly relaxed approach to that, and we're trying to help everybody meet the ends in their difficult times.
And how about for residents? You know, it must be pretty hard at the moment just for people to get out and about and get some exercise in if they're working from home or they're in complete isolation. What's council's advice here?
Yeah, look, I think it's part of the regulations from the state government is to exercise if you can is okay. Council's asking that people, if you're going to go outside, do the walking around the block, which is really interesting. I actually think I see more people walking around the block than I ever have before, which is probably a good thing. Maybe it's just not where they do it when I'm not looking outside. Don't know. We've had to close down a lot of play spaces, like Lilydale Lake, play space there, so people can't use them. It's not because we don't want them to use them. We can't sanitise the play equipment in time for the next child to use it. So that's why they're closed. People might think that's strange, but it's the actual, if there's germs left on the play equipment or the gym equipment or anything in a park, we ask that they don't use it because they're not sanitised by staff. It's near impossible to keep up a regime to keep them clean. But by all means, go out to the parks, find a nice open space, spend some time doing some exercise, push-ups, sit-ups, some yoga, whatever takes your fancy. There's plenty of space out there for everyone.
Richard, any advice for people who would perhaps normally come out to the Yarra Valley or the Dandenong Ranges and want to use services or buy goods? Any advice for those people?
Yeah, I loathe to say this, but please stay away. We don't want, in the case of we can't have you now, Victoria can't have you, Australia can't have you out here. Please stay at home, abide by the state government guidelines. If you don't need to come out, don't come out. Get on their website by all means. Uber's still delivering, I believe. Not that I want to promote Uber, but all the home deliveries are still promoted out there. Ring up the restaurants, order online, and I'm sure they'll get their products out to you.
Thanks. And I guess there's quite a lot of anxiety in the community at the moment and a lot of doom and gloom about the number of cases. Are you hearing any good news stories at the moment that you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, I think it's a very tragic time for Australia, for the world, but interesting how people are coming together. I actually find in myself that the community is working together. I see people that are sending letters in letterboxes to people, if you can't get out and about, give me a ring, I'll go and get stuff for you. I've heard stories about that. I've seen a letter from a couple of children that actually sent out a letter around to the neighbourhood and said, if you're bored and want to talk to somebody young, I'm here to talk to you. So that was a good story too. So there's lots of things happening out there. People are starting to have reality parties. I heard about a group of people had a virtual reality party the other night. instead of going to the pub, they sat in their homes and talked on the computer, and they finished up about 2:30 in the morning, which I suppose is probably past any pub times that they would have normally been restricted to. So people are embracing it. I've heard of lots of book clubs happening online. There's parties for birthdays. My wife's had 3 so far. I think she's the party. Puts the party hat on, some streamers, and off she goes. So it's really good. People are starting to invent things. I heard about some people the other day. They had a game of golf around the house, set up a golf course around the house. Each bedroom was a hole and things like that. So people are getting together and doing stuff like that. You know, we're learning new skills. Don't be negative about it. Think of it as a positive. You learn new skills. Well, keep happy by doing that.
And I guess there's lots of young families out there with kids that would normally be at school or kindergarten. They're also coming up with fun ways of doing things in the house.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe they're teaching them some of the older type things, how to cook biscuits and cookies that sometimes we haven't had time to do. You know, where the shelves are empty of flour and cake mixes and stuff, which is interesting.
Mm.
I don't think everybody wants necessarily to have a fresh cake, but maybe we're learning new skills or old skills.
Yeah, and I heard about Tasty As. What are they up to?
Tasty As is a great a group that they're disability group that teach groups of children or adults to how to cook and how to prepare. They usually have a little restaurant that happens, which is really good. But now they're actually doing their learning via internet. They're teaching lessons on the internet, people how to cook and how to prepare food. So there's things like that happening all over the place. Fitness is happening everywhere online. People are doing fitness. I heard one story about one bloke didn't realise his video should have been turned off. Maybe he should have dressed a little bit more appropriately. But anyway, that's a fun story to be telling.
Yeah, it's good that the community seems to be banding together a lot more in these troubling times.
Yes, they certainly are. They're definitely coming together and trying to come up with new ways to help each other out and teach each other new skills and ways.
Richard, the latest figures I've got show 20 cases of coronavirus affected people in the Yarranja Shire. How or in what way, if any, is the state government or federal government working with individual shires?
It's an interesting question that the actual figures are very restricted. I think the state government's keeping them restricted for local areas. They're just keeping it for shires, not actually telling, you know, what townships and all that. I suppose they're a little bit concerned that people might exit it and then start spreading it more. So it's probably a good idea. As long as people stay in their homes and those social distances, that's the only way we're going to combat this. Moving from one place to another certainly not going to help. To answer your question, they're helping us with figures and projections of what's happening, and we've just got a plan for the rehabilitation, basically. It's we're doing what we can, helping out people. At this stage, it's a little bit hard to see what the end story is. So what do we do to rehabilitate? We're working lots of different strategically, a lot of strategic thoughts, what's going to happen. But until that actually happens, we're a little bit blind also, I suppose.
Yes, with the rebuilding of the council buildings as well, it was an interesting time to actually be hit and have to socially distance as a council with all your meetings and everything, seeing as you didn't really have a meeting room left for you anyway. Is the work, building work, still going ahead with the new council buildings?
Yeah, the council work's still going ahead. The council building's still going ahead, sorry. It was interesting. We had a plan to move down to the senior citizens' hall just down the road. We'd set that up so we could actually have the council meetings there. We are still having them there, but at this stage we've actually reduced our council meetings down to once a month instead of every fortnight. We figure that way we can spend less time together at this stage because we have to be there. But yeah, we need to restrict the time we spend together just for safety reasons.
So, Richard, is there any closing comments you'd like to make or sort of key messages you'd like to get over to folks in the Yarra Valley?
Yeah, it's coming up Easter, and I know Easter is usually a time where family and friends get together. We go camping and we go spend quality time with family around the state. People go home to visit. Now's not the time to do that. Now's the time to actually stay safe at home, stop the spread of the virus and maintaining the strict guidelines that the government has in place. Learn new ways to keep in touch. Get that Skype, get that Messenger, get that Zoom, get that whatever you need to do. Phone calls, just phone calls to people. Do that. We normally talk about the road toll at Easter and how we want that to stay down. This year we're actually got to talk about the virus, keeping the virus down, the number of people that are contracting that. So let's make it a goal on Yarra Rangers. Instead of having a low road toll, let's have a really low virus infection rate. We're at 20, we're 18. I think we were 14 not very long ago. We actually seem to be slowing it well. So it's by the end of Easter, have it still at 20, and then I'll be really happy with everybody's efforts.
That'd be a great thing to achieve. Thank you so much, Richard, for being on air today for us. I think that's been very invaluable for people to hear Council's response. I think it's time for a break now, Greg.
Yes, and then a bit of a song from Simon and Garfunkel.
Winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island. Built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. Talk of love, well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. Me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries.
And welcome back to the second part of the show. My name's Julian Guest, standing in for Michael Goodrich. The next part of the show, we have two members of Yarra Rangers youth team to talk about what is happening in the youth space. We have Rita Leutzi and Jacinta Crooks. Rita, tell us about what's happening in your area.
Hi, Julian. Thanks for the opportunity to share on radio what's been happening in the community. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the programs had to be cancelled, like the youth holiday program and the youth spaces that we have after school, and the freezer program. But thankfully, we've been able to put that onto online, if you like.
And Rita, tell me, what is the freezer program?
Oh, okay. So freezer, that was going to be my second point, but I can start with that one first, not a problem. So freezer is a state government funded program, and it delivers a range of events for young people, from music, dance to skating, film and gaming. So basically what it is, we recruit a bunch of young people through a registration form. There's a level of commitment of time, so that could be anywhere between 6 months to a year. And within that time, on a weekly basis, we offer training, whether it be the main one is event management. So they'll be learning about how to book a band, how to book venues, how to book facilitators, speakers, how to do a risk assessment, how to do a program plan. So once they've learned all of these skills, they then think about what is it they want to do in community. And in the past, there's been pool parties where they've had a DJ come in and run a pool party at the Belgravia Leisure Centre in the Yarra Centre. They've also had movie nights. They've done Battle of the Bands. So, we've started recruiting. That's going to be live on the website as of today. We're sending out a whole bunch of letters to parents so they can encourage their young people to join. So it's an easy registration. And then from there, we have them weekly. That'll be starting the 13th of May. And the time slot we've chosen is 4:30 to 6 o'clock. So it'll be after school hours, because we don't know if school's going to resume or if school's going to be done online. And if so, we don't want to interfere with that. So, and the age range will be 14 to 17, and that's for young people that live, study, work in the Yarra Ranges. So what else can I tell you about that? Another thing that's really good about the freezer program is they can utilise any of the skills that they've learned and highlight that on their resume. So if they're going for a job, can highlight that on their resume. They could also utilize one of the youth team members as a referee, which I've done in the past for them, which has been really good and beneficial for them. So there's a whole bunch of stuff happening there. Because it's our first time doing it online, there's going to be some teething problems, but I think it should run as normal. Other councils are also doing it online as well, and we're supporting each other through that process. Because, no one's ever really done a program online when you usually have it face-to-face. So we're going to be learning about that one real soon. Another thing we're doing is, in the past we've had, prior to the virus, we had Valley Youth Space, we've had the Mombok Youth Space, and we've had UNA, which was formerly known as HICSA. There's also another program called Tribe, which is held in Mombok. So, and Siri also have their youth space on a Tuesday night. So what we've done, we're come together.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Who invited Siri? Welcome to the world of tech.
Oh, dear. Let me... I know, right? I'll stop with her in a minute. I got thrown off there. Where was I? Oh, all those youth spaces, the agencies are coming together to have an online youth space within Yarra Ranges. So rather than have all these individual ones, creating one big one, joining forces. So therefore we've got each also on board to support young people with mental health. We've got Siri on board to focus on their computer gaming, which I know nothing about. Then we've got the one that I run, which is usually hands-on art craft activity, so we can utilise that online. And they can do their own hot chocolate and toasties at home while they're online in the session as well. So we're going to have more details on the website, I would say by next week. But that is definitely something that's going to be there for young people to join in on.
And Rita, if people wanted to get in contact with the youth team to find out more about Freezer or any other programs, where do they go to, or how can they get in contact with you?
Sure. So we've got the website, so they can hop on the website, Yarra Rangers website, and if they go under youth, they'll find the Freezer event, and then that's where they can click for that. And for the combined youth spaces, once we get that more formulated, then that will also be advertised on the website as well. The other thing that I wanted to mention was Inspiro, youth and family counselling services they offer. Currently they're in Belgrave and Lilydale, and I understand that the Belgrave hub will be closing on the 6th of April. The Lilydale one will remain open, so that's pretty good. And they're offering phone consults, except if it's initial assessment. If it's going to be initial assessment, that'll be done face-to-face. And Inspiro could also be found on the web. What else can I tell you? So they're the three major things that I wanted to highlight. If anyone's got any questions, I'm happy to answer. Otherwise, we can shoot it over to Jacinta, who will be discussing a couple of other exciting things that are happening. Over to you, Jacinta.
Thanks, Rita. So, yeah, we've been doing a couple of different projects at the moment. It's a little bit hard considering a lot of the activities we had planned are sort of face-to-face things, but we are adapting to the current situation and looking at going online with a couple of different things. So, firstly, we've got our Youth Spotlight project, which we're rolling out for Victorian Youth Week. So over the past couple of months, we've been doing interviews with young people from the Yarra Rangers community, which is really fantastic. Just getting to know them a little bit more, getting to learn about their different passions, different achievements, different abilities, all sorts of cool things that they're doing and how they're contributing to the community in a positive way. So we had our first interview posted on Friday, and you can access that at the Yarra Rangers Council website or on the Yarra Rangers Youth Facebook page. And we interviewed a really great young woman called Ollie and just talked to her about what she was excited about, what she likes doing in the community. She's really passionate about seeing young people be more active in the community and in local government. And, yeah, it's really fantastic getting to know her a bit more and really seeing her take on how young people contribute to the Yarra Rangers. So that was really exciting. And we've got a couple more interviews rolling out every day across Youth Week. We've also been looking at getting a Your Rights at Work session happening. So that was planned for this Wednesday. It was going to be held at the Belgrave Hub. And we were going to have speakers from the Young Workers Centre and also the Box Hill Institute Skills and Jobs Centre doing a couple of different workshops around resume and cover letter writing, how to nail an interview, and also your rights at work and what young people can expect from their employer, where they can go for help, how much they should be getting paid, all sorts of different things, which is really great. So I actually sat in on a workshop with them last year for Victorian Youth Week. I went to the Victorian Youth Summit and saw them do a workshop there and thought it was really beneficial stuff that a lot of young people could do with learning because you're not really taught that sort of thing in school. So worked with one of our other youth workers, Sean, and put together this event. So instead of it happening in a physical space, we're actually moving it to an online platform, live streaming it to our Facebook page, or you can also access it at the Yarra Rangers website as well. We're going to be talking about, as I said before, Your Rights at Work, still having the same speakers doing different sessions, and we'll just be doing it by Zoom. So it will still be a live stream, but we're using Zoom as that platform, which is really exciting. So definitely tune into that. That's happening this Wednesday, April the 8th from 10 a.m. Did you have anything else to add to that?
And if people want more information, just enter whereabouts on the Yarrarangers website should they go?
Yes, so the URL is yarrarangers.vic.gov.au/youngworkers. So you can head over there.
And Youth Week starts when this week?
Yes, so I believe Youth Week started on Friday, and I think it goes until the 12th of April.
Great.
Yeah.
Rich, anything to add to that? Anything to add, Rita?
Sorry, what was it? I missed that bit, sorry.
Anything to add?
Oh, I was just going to mention that with the Youth Spotlight, Jacinta just mentioned Ollie, and, you know, Ollie Hackett has just been an amazing young person within the community of Yarrarangers Council. She had partaken in a program I ran, which was called the Youth Action Group, and the year before the Youth Reference Group, and, where they have a voice for young people in community and advocate that to counsellors. She was quite pivotal in that, very strong, intelligent young woman. And, I'm not surprised that she's involved in this. She's just done so much great work. And there's a lot of other young people out there like Ollie. And, we just want to meet more and more of them.
I actually just wanted to quickly jump in again. So one of the other young people we've interviewed, his name's Ash Hull, and he was part of the Freezer program a few years back, and he now has his own record company with one of the Triple J presenters. So definitely get involved in the different council youth programs. So many opportunities that can come from that, and it's really great to see that sort of coming full circle with being involved in those things and then getting to be interviewed and featured in the Youth Spotlight and what's come from that.
It's so great to hear these success stories of people coming into these programs and going on to do other wonderful stuff. And I don't think we always appreciate the work that goes on in council. Have you got anything else to add, Richard, about the work of the youth team or any other group in council?
Just a question about the bands happening. How are we going to stream them? Are we going to stream them, who's going to record them, etc.?
With Freezer, it could be, it's usually up to the young people what kind of event they want to run. There is that possibility. I don't know the technical components of it, but one of my other colleagues would know how to put that all together. They might run an art gallery that could put their work online. It's going to certainly be a different way of doing things, but I don't think it's impossible or not doable.
I just thought it might be an idea. There must be some youth out in the community that are keen to video and tape things. And
yeah, absolutely.
A head start into that area of their new careers.
Absolutely. Well, I think everyone's heard of TikTok. I shouldn't assume everyone, but most people have heard of TikTok, and there's a lot of great stuff on there where people, I don't know how many seconds it goes for, it's short, just to give little teasers, little tasters, and so that's probably another platform we could use as well, where they just upload some of their stuff, so yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rita and Jacinta, for giving us an overview of some of those programs that the youth team are putting on. Greg, I think we're coming up to the next break and next song, aren't we?
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much. We will get back to Jess, Ray and Julian after this. Here's The Fortunes with Here Comes That Rainy Day Feeling Again.
Falling like rain.
And welcome back to our final part of the program today. And I'd say with me in the studio today, but with me, looking at me on the computer, is Jessica Ray, who is the coordinator of our sustainability team at Council. Welcome, Jess.
Thanks, Julian. How are you going?
I'm going well, thank you. Tell me, Jess, what are the sustainability team doing at the moment? Are they all locked down with the pandemic?
Yes, Julian, the whole team is in lockdown and working very well from home under the conditions. Some people are interrupted pretty regularly by their cats.
Yeah, I must admit that I'm part of the same team as Jess, and my cat has become a regular
team member.
Team member of the sustainability team. So, Jess, while we're all stuck at home, is anything happening in sustainability?
Yeah, we're just pressing on business as usual. So the team have been updating our climate plan. So we had a climate plan that was about 5-6 years old. So we're refreshing that, and that's been to council a couple of times to have a look at and chat through with the councillors about what's in there and what we need to update and what we don't. But the main reason for the update is that we had a 2020 target of a 30% reduction in our greenhouse gas emissions, which we look like we will probably make by the end of the year. And so as part of this refresh, we're putting together new targets and new overall goals. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Is that a reduction mainly from the solar panels or tree planting or what?
Yeah, it has had a lot to do with the solar panels. So we've put on 4,000 panels in total over the past 4 years or so. But the biggest difference that we've made is through upgrading our streetlights. So we did that in 2014, and that really made the biggest difference, and that paid for itself in 3 years. So that, and then with Julian, well across this, but he's just rolled out the next version of that where we looked at our major roads where they were fully owned council lights, and we've upgraded them all now to LEDs, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And how did you source them, Julian? Was it something you buy straight away or
with great difficulties?
It was an interesting process to go through, but we were helped through the Municipal Association of Victoria that already put out a tender process, and AusNet have very specific requirements about what type of lights you can stick on top of a light pole. So we had to put that information together with the data that AusNet provided us about what street lights could be upgraded, and then we went about procuring those street lights. And we also had to have an AusNet approved project manager and an AusNet approved installer to do those works on our behalf. So all in all, it's probably about a 6-month project from Mo to Go, and we had a few lights left over, which was an interesting one for us because some of the AusNet data was not actually 100% accurate. So that's left us with another challenge of what to do with some leftover lights. So if anyone out there wants some leftover lights, please contact us.
Wouldn't they be used as spares, or do they last forever, these things?
Yeah, we're working through a few options. And one of the things with LEDs, they last a lot longer than the old mercury lights. Yeah.
And the key really for this climate plan is that, and through all the works that we've done, is that we've saved council money. So we're saving $1 million annually in our operational costs. So that's pretty exciting. And with the new plan, the focus really is going to be around how we can transfer our cars to being electric or renewable energy, and looking at all our plant and equipment, so our lawn mowers and blowers, and making them all electric, looking at putting electric, what it would look like if we did put a charging network across the Shire, and making sure that's charged with solar, so you're benefiting from renewable energy. And then another key one in the plan is looking at we can get our townships to be leafy and green and aesthetically pleasing, but also functionally, like reduce the urban heat island, so make them cooler and nicer to be in. And
so, Jess, it's not just about sort of mitigating the amount of greenhouse gases that we're putting into the air. It's also adapting. We know it's getting warmer, and having more trees around has what sort of an effect?
Well, it not only makes it cooler because it stops the heat coming off the concrete, and I think for me personally, it just looks nicer. You walk down a beautiful shaded street in Healesville, for example, with big old European trees, I know, but they look beautiful and you want to walk down it and you want to be outside. So I think just from a feeling and aesthetic point of view, it's not all about putting solar panels on and all that kind of thing. It's about how we, and that's why we're hoping to call the new plan a livable climate plan. So that's what really the message we want to get out is helping our rangers continue in being livable and beautiful to be in, and which is why most people move here and why we get so many tourists, is because it's such a beautiful place.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky, aren't we, living in Yarra Ranges?
Yes, we really are.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a few renewable energy groups and other community groups around the Shire. What are some of those groups doing, Jess?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you could tell me more about them, Julian. We have one in Yarra Glen called, beautifully named, Yarra Glenergy. And, Julian, I am aware that you've been working closely with them over the past 2 years. So would you like to explain what they've been doing?
Well, they have been very busy indeed, and it's taking a bit of time, but their first project was last year when they put a solar system on the local kindergarten, and that was a great success, and the kindergarten's been able to reduce their bills by about 50% by having that solar system on. So that spurred the group on to look at other community buildings in Yarra Glen, and last week they completed one at the Bowls Club. So that was really good, using a solar supplier we hadn't used before, and that was seems to have been a success. And there's also a team out at the football club at the moment, putting a quite large system on the football club. The football club was an interesting one because it has a huge roof space, but perhaps not so much electricity used during the daytime, and which opens up the possibility of having some batteries in the future at the football club. So that's three projects that the Yarra Glenergy Group have almost completed.
That sounds good. And is it okay for people to be working at the moment installing solar?
Yes, it's still classified as an essential service, so we're still doing that, and we're also still running with our Solar Savers program. And this is where house owners, homeowners in Yarra Ranges can apply for a solar system. And they can do that by going onto the website solarsavers.org.au and finding details, and they can register interest for Solar Savers. And if they're interested, they can receive a quote for a solar system. And the solar company called Echo Energy is able to then arrange for installation. And I know they've got installations booked up for the rest of this month, but if people get online now, register interest for a council-backed system, solar system, they can register, receive a quote, and if they're interested, then potentially they can have that installed over the coming months. Now, if the restrictions continue, then we may have to postpone some of the installations, but at the moment solar installers can carry on.
That's great. And are people able to receive the state government rebate through this program?
Absolutely. So it's very good at the moment. They're able to receive a rebate of $1,888, and they're also able to receive the same amount through a state government interest-free loan over 4 years. So it works out about $39 a month to pay for a solar panel system. So it's really quite good value at the moment. And again, if people would like more details, just go to solarsavers.org.au, find out more, register interest, and someone will be in contact.
That sounds great. And do we do anything for our businesses?
Yes, we do, Jess. It's called our Environmental Upgrade Program, and where we can provide competitive interest rates for a loan to fully fund a solar system or another environmental upgrade that's connected to a building. And this is done through our partners, the Sustainable Australia Fund. So if businesses are interested, they can contact us at council, or they can go straight to Sustainability Australia Fund and find out more information. And so far on Yarrangers, we've had 4 businesses that have signed up for solar systems and LED lighting upgrades. And we have quite a few other businesses that are interested as well at the moment. So that is still continuing. You can still go and get quotes. And if you want to go ahead, installations at the moment are still continuing.
That's great. And from memory, the businesses that have signed up have included four pillars?
Four pillars: the Gin Distillery in Hillsville, Aurum Aged Care Facility, Oscar's on the Yarra in Warburton, and the Brumfield Winery in Seville. So it would be great to get a few more businesses involved. And, again, if people want more information, they can contact me at council.sustainability@yarrangers.vic.gov.au or just give the main phone number a call.
That sounds great.
And, Jess, anything else happening? Is we have a couple of other programs with gardens.
We do, which is very topical at the moment, and it's really good to see people getting out there in their gardens and planting seedlings and looking at raising chooks. But we have a program called Gardens for Harvest, and anyone is able to register for that. You can register through council's website or through the Facebook page, and it just keeps you connected in on what to plant when and what's happening in your garden, things like that. So at the moment you can plant garlic, and all your winter crops should be going in, like your broccoli and cauliflower, peas. So yeah, it's a nice way to keep connected in a community as well when we can't be physically going to things.
And it's quite good at the moment because the cabbage moth seems to have disappeared with the cold weather.
Yeah, that's right. You don't need to cover them as you might normally.
Yes, yeah.
But, yeah, so register for that and, you keep updated.
And there are other groups in Yarrangers, aren't there, that are working in the sort of the food-growing areas. How can people get in contact with those groups?
Like the permaculture groups?
Yeah, I'm thinking permaculture Yarra Valley are pretty active. And other groups in the hills?
Yeah, well, there's Epic in the Hills and Hills Food Frontier. So all of those groups have their own website. So, and it's all on council's website as well. So you can just link in through there. And they're really great ways at the moment to stay connected to your local community. And there's community garden groups as well. There's one in Hillsville, and they're trying different things online. And also as a team, the sustainability team, we ran a few series of events last year. So we're looking at how we can do them online and do a webinar series online. So all of these things will help people feel more connected and
right. So thanks, Jess. That's a great roundup of what the sustainability team are doing at the moment. So I'd just like to thank our guests for coming in today. So, Richard, thank you very much. We're honoured to have the mayor here. Rita, Jacinta and Jess, thank you very much for your input. Greg, I think we're coming up to news time, aren't we?
Yes, but thank you also, Julian, for organising all that. It was a great show, and Council Show will be back again next month here on Yarra Valley FM. Great job, people. It was really interesting to hear all the different things that are happening with the council, even though we're all separated and in lockdown. And it's good to know the different innovative and creative ways the council is still doing things.